Welcome to Shift, a college admissions podcast for a changing world. I'm Tyler, founder of Achievable. We have an affordable ACT course that includes everything you need to ace your ACT. Full textbook, tons of ACT questions backed by our memory-enhancing algorithm, and full-length practice exams. You can try it out for free at achievable.me, and if you like, the code podcast will get you 10% off at checkout. Also, if you have a question or topic you'd like us to discuss in a future episode, please contact me at tyler@achievable.me with the subject line podcast topic. Let's get started. So today we have Mark Gray back on the show. Mark's firm, Odyssey, partnered with Achievable to write our ACT course. Mark, do you want to just tell a little bit more about what you do?
You bet. As you mentioned, we're an ACT prep firm and a college admissions consulting firm in the Central Arkansas area, particularly in Little Rock. And our goal is just to make college applications and everything up until that point, including test prep, to make it easier and smoother for parents and students.
Great. Well, today we have a fun one, and this is a topic that I feel like is becoming more and more relevant as more and more universities become test optional. When should you apply with or not with an ACT or SAT score? Just taking it from the top, where's your like first kind of major points about that?
So when parents ask me these questions, I like to tell them a bit about like where this came from, you know, like why did colleges all of a sudden do this? Who was doing it before the pandemic and why? So the test optional movement, as I call it, it started to improve access for students, right? To make it so students who would typically were from backgrounds who would not be able to, you know, who historically haven't performed well on standardized tests, they would be able to apply using test optional and bad test scores wouldn't be held against them. So those backgrounds, it's important to note what those are. So if you're a student that perhaps, you know, was in and out of the foster care system, right, in your state, that is who test optional was initially intended to benefit, right? If that student didn't have access to, you know, private tutoring or that
just like normal educational sort of baseline stuff,
right.
then that's
who it was intended to be for. So when a parent from who has students in a private school asks me if their student should apply test optional, depending on the school, we'll get into that later, typically I say, you know, if you're used to, if you can afford piano lessons or a vacation once a year, you're probably expected to submit test scores.
Okay.
So out of the gate, that's what I tell clients, much to their chagrin, usually. On the other end, we don't have a whole bunch of data on it. The pandemic essentially forced almost every school in the U.S. to move that route. And the research, and when I say research, I mean peer reviewed research, right? Not some survey that a college took. The research shows, at least from my reading, that the movement has benefited colleges way more than it has students.
Interesting. Why is that?
So there was one peer-reviewed study that showed that when a school goes test optional, their application numbers gets a brief spike, right? And not to bog the episode down with the calculus of the U.S. news rankings on how schools are ranked, right? But one of the key variables of that is how many students are you rejecting, right? So the more students...
Yeah, what's your admissions percentage, basically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So what that means is, particularly with like, top 20 schools in the U.S. news rankings, right? When the test optional movement, you know, just took America by storm in the pandemic, they got record-breaking application numbers. You know, so they're making money from those applications. Of course, some of them you can get the tuition, the application waiver, but they're making money that way, but more importantly, their acceptance rate is going down, which makes them more competitive, right?
Yep.
So now Dr. Aviva Leggett, she was a former, I believe she worked on the admissions team at UPenn. She wrote a scathing article about the test optional movement. And essentially, she claimed a lot of universities are using it to score what she called cheap equity points, right? We're making ourselves look like we're these inclusive people that don't really care about test scores, when really it's benefiting the college more than the student.
Yeah, it's kind of like how there's the jokes with corporations doing very similar things, where they just kind of like they make a show mm-hmm. of looking inclusive and all that, so that it looks good. It's good PR,
right?
And it helps their rankings. And then what is the actual impact of the admissions process? I mean, would you say that the majority of these schools are still mostly going to accept candidates with test scores, or is this actually materially changing who they're admitting?
So this is where it gets really tricky, because, you know, 2 years ago, I would have put Colorado College roped in with those same universities that are benefiting more than they're really doing students a favor. But last year, I believe Colorado College admitted 50% of their applicants were test optional, I believe. So,
wow.
And so that's the thing. Every college has their own admissions procedures, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if everything were truly standardized, we'd be able to say, oh, well, you should always do this, you know, but it really depends on the university. I will say, though, that at least the top 20, you know, like U.S. ranking schools that are test optional, mm-hmm. it's doing them more favors than it is for a student. And if you're applying to that school, you are in a fiercely competitive pool of applicants, and you need ways to differentiate yourself from all those that are applying. So submitting test scores is recommended. You know, some people say it's not test optional, it's test preferred, right?
Yeah, I mean, that actually is probably a good way of thinking about it.
But, you know, but take someone who comes from a background where they wouldn't be able to afford, you know, test prep or the opportunities to do well on standardized tests. With that said, to those individuals, taking the test can only help them, right? If they happen to score well, it can only benefit them. So yeah, does that answer your question?
And if they, yeah, kind of. I mean, I feel like we need to unpack a little bit more.
Sure.
So, like, you said, I mean, there's kind of that phrase, and hopefully this isn't like sort of insulting to anyone,
sure.
but like there's the phrase that's like better to be, it's like roughly, I'm paraphrasing, it's like better to be a fool, better to be a silent fool than to open your mouth and remove all
yeah,
doubt.
Right.
And it's kind of like, if you're going to score badly, maybe it's better to not have a score at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on the other hand, the people that are probably not going to score well on standardized tests are either people that probably don't score well in grades, mm-hmm. just a guess, or people that have some kind of specific test-taking issue, whether mm-hmm. that's ADHD or some other test anxiety or something else. So in the case of like, oh, I have a specific test-taking issue, I would say, yeah, maybe seriously consider don't doing it. Because if you have like a 4.0, but then you have bad test scores, then that really cheapens your 4.0.
Sure.
But if it's like, I have a 2.7 GPA and I'm applying to a school where that's, you know, a good chunk below average, maybe I'm in like the 20th or 30th percentile,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that, and you're not so sure that you're going to score well on a standardized test. At that point, what advice do you give people?
So again, you know, take it, and you just, and but you still don't, like, just because you take it doesn't mean the university has access to the scores. You can choose to put them on,
right.
or to not, right? So, because I've encountered situations where, you know, a student lacks discipline, you know, to have a good GPA, but they're an incredible test taker. The language of the test, they get, they anticipate it, and they do really, 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 really well. So
yeah, then you just play the whole school's not for me card, right. But I'm really brilliant.
It'll be different this time. Let me into your college.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. For the specific thing that I'm good at. I also am, like, sometimes you just surprise yourself too. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the most random things that I've ever done in my whole life, which I actually sometimes kick myself and wonder.
You have my attention.
I scored a perfect 800 on the SAT 2 bio. I didn't study for it at all. I wasn't even in AP bio or any advanced bio classes. I took bio in high school and then that was it. And it was just all Darwinism stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, oh yeah, this is all how it works. It makes sense. And then I got an 800. I was like, what?
You a big fan of Charles over there?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of like the aspect of biology where it's like, this is how a mitochondria works. Uh-huh. And so I didn't ever think to be a biologist, but
sure.
It was just interesting that, I don't know, for whatever reason, I got a really good score on that test. So if you don't try, you'll never know.
Correct. Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're so excited about, you know, collaborating with Achievable to make the ACT course, just because mm-hmm. where most families can't afford thousands of dollars for test prep tutoring, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, making something that's a bit more affordable, but that still has, you know, the cool data science that you guys have by it to help students improve their scores and get point gains.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the biggest key with that is, like, the narrowing you down to focus on what you need,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that that's just, like, for something as multifaceted as the ACT, it's so important. Because science and English and math are all extremely different.
Right.
Just like super high level topics. So, I appreciate the Achievable call out there.
Sure. I mean, like, seriously though, I mean, like that's one of the reasons why we were excited to do it. Because I hate speaking with parents that are really eager and the kids are eager, you know, to improve their test scores, but they just can't afford our services, no matter how much of a discount I may or may not be willing to give them, right?
Right.
For them to have something that can be helpful. With that said, though, like you mentioned, the working on your weaknesses part, that's the real key value, I think, that any test prep has. It's working on what you suck at, right? Which is
that and I think just in general, I mean, we have our Achievable scholarship, and I think there are like just a lot of great resources out there that can be affordable for people that need it, right? Mm-hmm. Like at the bare minimum, like Khan Academy, well, their stuff is all SAT focused. Mm-hmm. Like they do have just like a bunch of math resources. YouTube is quickly becoming one of my favorite like educational platforms in general, mm-hmm. right? It's part of the reason why we put a lot of our stuff on YouTube too, because it's just, there's so much out there that can teach you about any topic, mm-hmm. and it's like somebody who's really kind of an expert in it. So a lot of ways to get creative, but yeah, I think that just to go back to the original topic on test optional, right, yeah, versus not, yeah, it sounds like what it sounds like sort of the main criteria are like, if it's a top school, it's pretty much required, like, or you should consider pretty much required. If you come from a privileged background at all, like you said, like having a vacation once a year, like probably should do it. And then, look at the test optional admissions rates for universities that you're applying to, make sure that they are actually meaningful before you decide not to take the test, because essentially you are in a different applicant pool, whether you want to be or not, right? Because if your test's optional, they're going to look at your application on all the other merits, and then you're competing against all those people. And then the last thing is essentially make sure that you know, if you are test optional, that there's kind of, you can, like, it's better to have a good reason for it.
Absolutely.
Making that optional.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that I, that we didn't cover that I missed, or that you just want to chip in here at the end?
Sure. So, going test optional has really benefited, like, what we would call the elite colleges.
Yeah.
However, there are a lot of good colleges that you can apply test optional to, and it won't hurt your chances. So, like, take for example, there was a school locally here, Arkansas Tech University. They have a scholarship now, like a, I want to say it's like a complete full ride, that's test optional, right? So,
wow.
Yeah. So, there's one writer that I follow who's, a big writer in U.S. college admissions. He talked about how there's two different kinds of colleges. There's the buyers and the sellers, right? The Ivy Leagues are the...
Interesting.
Yeah, the Ivy Leagues are the sellers, right? Like you come to them. They don't have a shortage of applicants, right? The buyers are people who are trying to become a household brand. And, you know, so I would say, like, those schools, applying test optional there might benefit a student a lot more than applying to the sellers of the elites that way, if that makes sense.
Right. Because they've got something to gain from admitting a test optional student.
Right.
Potentially.
Right. Whereas if you're applying to, you know, Princeton, you know, maybe you've published research or you're competing nationally at something. Well, if you're applying to a good state school, maybe you can be the best in your city or your state. And stand out in the application process. So it's and in that case, maybe your test scores won't be held against you if you apply that way.
Very cool. Thanks, Mark. This has been Shift, a college admissions podcast for a changing world, hosted by Tyler from Achievable. You can try out our ACT course that we made with Mark for free at achievable.me and use the code podcast to get 10% off if you decide to buy it.